Hello and welcome to another episode of the Embracing a Simpler Life podcast. I'm your host, Katie Bennett, and I am so excited because I am here today with one of my very best friends in the whole wide world, Christy Fanger. Say hi.
Hello, everybody.
And Christy is one of those people in my life who God gave me at a time when I really needed a friend. We met, oh my goodness, what's it been? 6 years ago?
Seven? Yeah. Almost seven. Seven. Oh. You were pregnant.
Yeah. This was, we had both moved to a new city recently, and we were both becoming new mothers and transitioning into stay-at-home mom life, which is kind of scary if you're a people person.
Definitely.
And God brought us together, and we have just lived the last 7 years of life together.
So, we have.
I've learned so much from you. It has.
And back at you completely.
It has. And last episode, I introduced the challenge of reading the Bible through in a year. And then no sooner did I release that episode than my friend Christy put a post on her Facebook wall talking about the fact that she had done that very thing in 2017 for the first time and just how much God had shown her through that journey. So I wanted to bring her on so that you could hear her wisdom and insight and get a glimpse kind of into the nitty-gritty of how this works for a mom of three little children who's very busy and tired and who's still making it a priority and seeing the fruit.
Yes, I am so excited to share today.
Is there anything else you want to share about yourself?
Oh, goodness. I am a mama to three little boys. God gave me my first one now 7 years ago. So my oldest is seven. And then I have a 4.5-year-old and a 2-year-old. I've been married to my husband for almost 10 years. Next week, we hit our 10-year anniversary.
Wow.
So I am completely outnumbered in my household, 4-1. But it is wonderful and very chaotic and loud and rough because boys are all of that. But man, they are sweet and I feel loved and cherished by them. And they are gifts. And I've learned a lot from being their mama and being a wife, definitely.
I have to tell you this. Today, Clara, my 6-year-old, who is very close friends with Christy's oldest son, Will, which is a fun thing about when you,
it's wonderful.
You and your friends have children, they kind of become friends. But
yes.
She told me today, you know, Mom, in Will's family, Christy is the special one because she's the only girl.
Oh, I laugh out loud because it's so true.
So Clara's really picking up on this. You are the queen of that household of boys.
I feel like it, but sometimes I live with just a lot of, like I said, a lot of loud, a lot of noise, a lot of injuries. So it's a price to pay to be that queen, but I love it, and I wouldn't change it. Surprisingly, I really wouldn't change it.
That's cool. That's really good to hear. God knows what he's doing, and he's stretching you in good ways.
Yeah, very good.
So I want to know, I don't know if I really know the answer to this, but what led you to commit to reading the Bible through in 2017?
Oh, goodness. Okay, so I am not much one for social media. I really only belong to Facebook. I don't do Twitter or Instagram. I'm just not very up on that sort of stuff. But I do Facebook, and I enjoy seeing posts from people and friends and family and staying connected with people I wouldn't run into on a daily basis through that outlet of social media. So at the beginning of the year, or at the end of 2016, I guess, I saw a friend's post that I was good friends in high school with, post that she was going to read through her Bible that year. And I thought, you know what? I've never done that. Could I make it a reality? So I started it, and I didn't tell anyone about it for about a week or two because I wanted to see if it's something I could do. And then as I caught steam and kept going, I was like, yeah, I'm going to share this with people because I feel like I can attain this goal. So that is what spurred me on towards this, was a friend's Facebook post about it.
That's cool. So that was what motivated you to post upon your completion last week of your goal.
Exactly. And as I neared the end of that, I really prayerfully considered how I was going to post, because I absolutely did not want it to seem arrogant in any way. I really wanted it to be an encouragement, like that friend's post was to me last year at this time.
All right. So I'm going to, for our listeners, if this is all right with you, Christy, I'm going to copy your post and put it in the show notes. Oh, since we're talking about it, people might want to see kind of what you had to say and how you really very wisely and humbly did craft a very encouraging post.
Oh, awesome. I loved it. Okay, great. Yeah, thanks.
All right. So I feel like a lot of people who might be considering this, reading the Bible through a year, and maybe they've done it before and it's just kind of time for a refresher, and maybe they've never done it before. They might be busy people. I feel like that's kind of just the standard reality for everyone, that
absolutely
we're all busy. So probably anyone could make that excuse. But I really want to know, how did you make this happen? Because I know for a fact that you are busy and you have had a very stressful and difficult year just with illnesses and whatnot.
Yeah.
How'd you do it?
I started the year off by getting in the habit of reading. I had my pastor back in college wisely told us that discipline comes before desire. And so I wanted to make sure that reading my Bible became a discipline in my life, meaning that I had to train myself to get up early in the morning. For the first, I want to say month or two, I would get up about 30 or 45 minutes before I expected my kids to get up. And I would make my coffee, and it is freezing in Missouri where we are. So I would make my coffee and get under a blanket, but not get too comfortable, because then I would fall back to sleep. But I would read. I would read, and I would read until my kids woke up in the morning. And they're not kids that just get up and mill about and are content on their own. They need me. We hit the floor with our feet running. So usually I would have about 30 minutes in the morning to read. So at the beginning of the year, that is exactly what I did. I got up each morning early and I would read the set amount of reading prescribed for that day. So the plan that I followed was a chronological reading plan. And honestly,
did you get that?
So funny. I just Googled a chronological Bible reading plan, and this one came up in a PDF format where I could print it, which was easy for me. And so I printed it out, and it took me through my Bible in a year chronologically. So that meant that I would skip around some books of the Bible, and sometimes I would go back and forth between books, reading exactly how scholars believe it's set out in its time, and how things actually happened in time.
And what, having gone through it, what's your thought on chronological? Do you recommend that?
I do for people like me. So my mind is not a super creative mind. I'm more of a, I would say type A, I guess. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but I would say my mind sees very black and white. I see very, so to see it from start to finish was easier for me to understand the first time in going through how the event actually took place, and it would make more sense to me that way. So that's how I chose to do it.
You're more of maybe an organized thinker?
Ooh, that's the good way to put it. Yes.
Well, if you can hook me up with a link to that plan, we will link to that in the show notes, since
it
obviously worked for you.
Yeah.
So it's proven. It's a proven plan.
It is proven. Yeah. And I will say, several people have asked me about how many chapters I would read per day. And I would say on average, I read about 4 to 5 chapters per day. And what I did was I read through all the footnotes throughout the entire Old Testament besides the book of Psalms. So my Bible that I chose to read out of is the version is the New Living Translation. Mm-hmm. Which is easy to read and pretty accurate. And then also it's called the Life Application Study Bible. Katie Bennett and I actually are Bible twins.
Yes, we are. It's one of the many, many things that we have in common.
That's right. That's right. So this one was easy to read, and it also gave great study notes at the Bible. So it gave the historical context of it. It gave why those things were culturally relevant. And it also gave you a way to apply certain things to your life that you would think, there's no way that I can see why this fits into my life now. It made it to where you could apply it to everyday life. So I would definitely recommend a study Bible in getting through several of the Old Testament books that are definitely more difficult to understand their meaning in today, especially if this is your first time reading through the whole thing like I did.
So you said you read in the morning for the first couple of months. Did something change?
Yeah, it's crazy. So like I said, my college pastor said, discipline before desire. And oh, how I desired it later on. Like throughout, maybe starting mid-February, it was like, oh my gosh, I haven't read yet. I want to. And it wasn't something that I felt like I needed to do or had to do. It was something that I wanted to do. Mm. And I'm definitely a person that if I set a goal, I am going to work hard to meet that goal. But it was more than just meeting the goal. It was, I wanted to do this. I wanted to know who God was. And I realized that I could by reading the word. Mm. So I craved it. Yep.
That's such a good, good place to be.
Oh yeah. It was good. Yes. So it still is.
Yeah. So how would you describe the journey overall? Because I know there were times when we talked and I was so excited for you to be reading through the Bible in a year. And I knew I had so much confidence that God was going to show up and reward you and pour, you know, so much of himself into your life through that. But there were times where you were just kind of frustrated or not seeing all the fruit that you were hoping for. And yet you persevered.
Yeah, definitely. I will have to say, it started out, like I said, with a discipline and just getting into it. And then it created desire, which I wanted to read. I wanted to know. And then around summer, midsummer, we had just so many stressful things happen within our family, our home, our kids, health stuff, injuries, financial stress,
surgeries.
Just a lot, surgeries, ER visits, lots of things that just made me frustrated. It was like I expected God to show up and to just, I would have this faith in him. I did not expect him to make my life perfect, but I expected him to help me be strong in these trials. And I just felt totally weak in every single trial that we faced. And I was just like, God, where are you? And I really questioned a lot. And in all honesty, I took two hiatuses this year, one towards the end of summer and then another one later on in the fall, to where I just said, I looked at my husband one night and I said, I'm not reading anymore, just out of frustration. Mm. I said, I just cannot do this. I said, I just don't see his faithfulness right now. And I just need to put this down because it's not going to be coming out of a good place. And so I took one 2-week break and another 2-week break later on. And, but what afforded me to take those breaks and then pick back up and not fall so far behind was at the beginning of it, I got so far ahead. I mean, I even finished early with those a total of a month long break. Because at some point I was a month and a half ahead because I just desired it. I would just read more than what was set on the plan for that day. But should I talk about the ending and where I got to yet?
Yes. Okay.
So this is what's so crazy. So that is just the honest nitty gritty truth. I felt like I had never been more weak in my life. I never felt like I had been truly humbled until this year. Mm-hmm. I saw my sin more evident and my weaknesses more evident this year than I have throughout my life before. I saw my desperate need for Christ in my life, and what his sacrifice would allow me, and that's eternal life with the Lord. Mm. And so I hit Revelation just a few weeks into December, and I was still at a place where I was like, God, please show me your faithfulness. Please really show me who you are. And I had learned about his righteousness. I had learned about his justice. And then I read through the Gospels. I read through the New Testament and how we should treat one another, how we should love one another, how we should be the church to the world. And I hit Revelation, and I wrote down some verses that I wanted that just really, really, really hit me. And Revelation 5 just put me into tears. And it is talking about how there are seven scrolls, and all these powerful beings came to try to open these scrolls, and no one could open them. And then it says, then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered, but it was now standing between the throne and the four living beings and among the 24 elders. And he was able to open the scroll. He was the one, the slaughtered lamb, Christ. Mm. And that just put me into tears, because it was like, yeah, that is who he was. He sacrificed himself, and he's still all powerful. And then you get to Revelation 19, and it talks about the rider on the white horse, and his name is Faithful and True, and he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. And it talks about how God will bring his judgment and how powerful Christ is. So he was the slaughtered lamb and the rider on the white horse. And I felt like, yeah, this is it. This is where God brought me to know Christ, and to see how throughout all the Bible, it's all leading up to this, how we need his mercy, his forgiveness, his love for us, because of how just and powerful he is.
Isn't it just amazing how, like, the whole Bible is so profitable and useful for showing who God is, for reaching out and grabbing us and pulling us into his heart, into relationship with him, into our eternal life. And how, like, you read through the entire Old Testament law, you read through the entire, you know, history of things that happened a really, really long time ago, and all the prophecies, but all those things were tilling the soil for what God was going to bring. And he knew all year, and all your crying out, and all the times where you were forced to persevere, but there's so much blessing in perseverance. And if he gave us everything really easily, then we wouldn't really learn it, or we wouldn't really be able to appreciate it. But just how God was so faithful to bring that fruit at the very end of your journey.
Yes. I mean, absolutely. And there's two verses that truly stick out to me. And one I've heard sermons preached on so many times. And our pastor from our church, he had a great sermon on it years ago. And it said, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion." And I'm not completed by any means, but I felt like I got to see that in this year. Like, he started a good work, and he is seeing it, and he's seeing it come through. And I got to see that in my life. Like, he truly is teaching me about how important it is to be close to him. And the other verse that I thought about that comes to me too is James 4:8, "Come close to God and he will come close to you." And that I struggled with this year. I really did, because I was like, God, where are you? Because I couldn't feel him. And it just took patient endurance. And that's another thing in Revelation that just stood out to me so much as I was reading through those last couple weeks, was patient endurance. John talks a lot about that. And I think that's what this year was a lot of, was patient endurance and seeing God's promises come true in my life, evidently through reading his word in the year.
I think that is so interesting. So, as you know, like, the theme of this podcast is eternal perspective. And I think what you're saying as you reflect on the past year has such strong undertone of that because you endured faithful endurance through this year. Well, now the year's over and you're experiencing fruit and joy and all these good things in yourself, you know, in your spirit, and in heaven too. And that's really an analogy for life. That's what God is calling us for, is faithful endurance, to not be distracted. You were hungering for God's word, which is eternal.
This past year, it was, I didn't want to read, you know, books on the Christian faith. I didn't want to read self-help books or anything like that. I really just wanted to hear what God wanted to say to me. And with that, I mean, I did read the study notes, which are people's perspective on things, but I really wanted that. I just craved God's word. And I'm so glad that that was the main voice in my mind this year. And that's what brought me through this year and where I'm at right now. Which, fun enough, I am starting again. So many people have asked me, what are you going to do now? And I'm going to start again. I think I don't have another plan set in my mind, so I know how good this was for me. So my plan right now is to start again, and I just finished part of Genesis and into Job, and it's so cool to read it again based on what I just learned from the last year and how far I've come in my understanding of the history and where God brought me to through Revelation.
Well, if you think about it, you read Genesis to begin with, and then, you know, as you went through everything new you read, you were understanding in context of what you had already covered.
Exactly.
So now you're looping back around with the benefit of all the context of everything ahead of it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it is really cool. I'm excited to read this year. And I say that's where I'm going towards right now because I don't have another plan, and I want to have a plan because I know how good that was this past year.
Yeah.
And what you gain from it, nobody can take that away from you. Like, and I don't think that God's going to allow that to go away. You know what I mean? Like I might lose some of the facts. I might forget some of, you know, where everybody falls in genealogies and that sort of thing. But, how it fits together to make his story and our story, that's not going to go away.
And his character. Mm-hmm. Getting to know his character, like, that is knowledge that you have.
Yep.
So who do you think should read the Bible through in a year? Like, who would be a good candidate? And it could be everyone, but you've done it.
That actually wouldn't be my answer.
Okay.
Because I have to be completely honest. A friend of mine reached out to me, that had seen my post and asked me my opinion, because she's still a nursing mama, you know, and she's doing another study as well. And I don't know if it's the right year for her. This is my first full year in 8 years that I have not been pregnant or nursing a baby. And I can't tell you how more alert my mind is and receptive to things and remembering things than it is during those years of pregnancy and nursing babies and waking up constantly through the night. So for me, this was definitely the right year for me. Now, for those other mamas that are pregnant or nursing, maybe they do have the mental facilities to be able to do that as well.
Or maybe on audio.
Maybe. I'm not an audio learner quite as much through reading. I did listen to some Psalms on audio. I will say that. But I do believe that if you make it a priority and discipline yourself to be able to do it, if that means losing 30 minutes of sleep or 20 minutes of sleep to be able to do this, I think you could accomplish it. It depends on, I think those beginning months of how disciplined you are. For me, that was vital to really stick with what I had set out to do. And then it became what I wanted to do.
Well, I think what you mentioned earlier about getting ahead in the beginning, when you're motivated, when you're excited, getting ahead and building yourself in a margin Because things are going to happen. Things are going to come up. People get sick. People travel and, you know, forget their Bible reading plan at home. Yeah, I'm huge on that, too. I'm reading the one-year Bible this year, and I'm already on January 20th, and it's still December. Yeah. I'd love to start a full month ahead just because, you know, things happen. Sometimes you get home late, and I do my reading at night, and, you know. So getting ahead, I really like that idea.
Absolutely. And not feeling like, oh, well, I can't attain my goal anymore. I'm so far behind, so I'm just going to give it up. The thing is, if your one-year plan becomes a two-year plan, that's okay. Like, just to stay in God's word with a set, like, I want to finish this because I want to know who God is. I want to put my faith in something that I've put energy into learning and growing in and knowing. And so if that one-year plan becomes a two-year plan, I mean, give yourself grace on that too. But I think, like we mentioned, getting ahead, so that way if you do miss a few days, it doesn't feel like, oh man, I've got 17 chapters to read. I just need to shelve this and try again next year. I don't think that should be a thing.
Yeah. And I really think going into God's word with expectation that he is going to reveal himself. So I remember,
maybe if it's even in like the second or third week of December. No, I'm just kidding.
I remember one time sitting around with some like college students or something older than me, and someone was saying, oh my goodness, the law, it's so hard to read. And they were just whining about it. But that was really how they saw it, that it was just like torture to read because it's all these laws. And somebody else said, no, I think, you know, the law is amazing because that shows God's holiness. These people actually had to do this stuff. Like that is the holiness of our God. And kind of coming to it with an open heart and an open mind to say, this is divinely inspired. This is the story of God. He talked with these people and chose them and used them. And, you know, I think that makes a really big difference just in being successful and being excited about it.
Absolutely. I agree completely.
So let's call it stumbling block or roadblock that I have heard a lot of people talk about, especially women, when it comes to living their lives in a way that truly matters, is they have a fear of failure that just cripples them from even trying. What would you say to them?
Well, I would say I'm one of them completely. I mean, like I said, I didn't mention it to anyone for a week or two that I was even doing this because if I failed, I didn't want anyone else to know. Looking back on that, that was so silly, but it's where I was at then. And so I would say just, I mean, you may not meet that goal, but if a one-year plan becomes a two-year plan, that's okay too. And if you're feeling like you're going to fail, maybe that's something that you need to figure out how you can prevent against that. If you know you're not a night person, or if you know that you fall asleep reading, don't plan to save your reading until you fall asleep in bed, until you get in bed at night, and then you know you're going to fall asleep with two or three paragraphs read, and you're supposed to read three chapters that night. Set it up for the morning time or over your lunch break if you work. For me, what I found best after I craved it was I would put my two kids down at home and praise God, their naps sync up because it's awesome. And the first 20 to 30 minutes of their nap time would be absolutely getting in those chapters that I was supposed to read that day. And depending on what else I needed to get done around my house, I would read more that would be done. And I would be done for the day. But don't just fear failure. Several of my friends are doing this as well, and they started midway into the year, and they had new babies this year, and they will not finish in a year, But they didn't let the fact that they would be breastfeeding for a year and waking up through the night with their new ones stop them from setting this goal. And I was so proud of them that they said, I'm going to do this even though I know it's going to be hard and I may not finish in a year, but I'm still going to read through my Bible. Mm. And I'm so proud of them. I just had dinner with two other friends the other night that are going to try to do this as well. And I am so excited for them that they feel that they're in a place that A, they want to do this, and B, that they're asking the right questions to see how they can do this in their life. So I'm just praying for my friends that have said, expressed desire that they want to do this, that they figure out the right tools and the right plan to see them through, and that God will just reveal himself this year like he did to me. Yeah. And that they can encourage other people. I mean, the Bible says spur one another on towards love and good deeds. It's don't stop encouraging each other. And it's like, yeah, that's what we need to do.
Hmm. It's so interesting because I think as women, as Christians, we really want to help other people to make things better for them because we love them.
Yes.
And all the things that we could give them, if we challenge and encourage them to read the Bible, like you have just given them the world and beyond. And, you know, it's such a simple thing, but when you lead by example and can come back and say, I did it as a mother in this life situation and I see the fruit and I'm so grateful, you know, that's so powerful. And you have been able to encourage many other people to do it. And now on this podcast, many more. So God is using you.
And I'm humbled, like just totally humbled that he would use something like this that, you know, at first it was just like, oh, am I going to be prideful in telling anyone this? And it's like, no, like that, my friend's post, she was bold enough to say, I'm going to do this. She said it out loud to the Facebook world that she was going to do it for the year. It encouraged me so much that I just want God to just use that and encourage others like I was. Because like I said, no one can take this away from me. And yes, there are going to be more trials and more struggles to come. I'm sure of it. But it's like, you know, the song on Christ, my solid rock, I stand, all other ground is seeking sand. And it's like, like this is truth. And I feel like I've just started like figuring things out more real in my life and getting to a place, of knowing God and his character and seeing some of his promises, in this life. And I'm so excited
that
he's choosing to reveal them. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Christy, for coming on here and being willing to share your heart and your story and your wisdom. And
thanks, friend.
I'm just excited for our listeners. Hopefully, if this isn't your year to read the Bible through, that you will tuck all this away in your heart and be watching and waiting for when your time comes.
Yes. Thank you, Katie.
Until next time.